Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. We want to welcome all of our guests here who are here for the first time. Can we give it up for those who are here visiting with us? We hope you feel welcome here. We hope you feel at home here at Every Nation Brisbane. I'm just going to quickly break this verse down from Isaiah 9, verse 6. We have it up on the screen. It says here, "For to us," everybody say, "to us," "a child is born." "For to us," everybody say, "to us," "a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Verse 7 says, "And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Lord, we understand that this scripture was written over 600 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, yet it was fulfilled in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And we come here celebrating the gift that was given to us. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, whose death we celebrate because we have life. We celebrate because he has risen and he is alive. We celebrate because his Holy Spirit lives in us. We celebrate because his grace has been made available to us, and we are created for his good works, for his workmanship. And so, God, we count it an honor to be called your sons and daughters because of the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, everyone shouted, amen. Amen. All right. Well, simply put, we're just going to break this verse down. And like I mentioned in my prayer, this book of Isaiah actually divided into two parts. The last 27 books of Isaiah were written, the last 27 chapters were written a little later than the first two-thirds of the book. And so Isaiah was writing over a period of where there were actually four kings that were alive. And the first king that was alive during the time of Isaiah was this guy named Uzziah. Everybody say Uzziah. Sounds like a powerful name. This guy was a great guy, like a great king. He was godly, but unfortunately he died. And so if you can imagine a nation that was so reliant on not just a king, but a godly king, a king that heard from heaven and led his people according to the leading of God, and he died. And upon his dying, the people of Israel were looking for the new king, who eventually became Uzziah's son. But how many of you know, when you're so used to the leadership of a person, when that leader is gone, sometimes you can be in a little bit of unrest and turmoil. So there was this lack of peace. They didn't know who was going to lead them after this great king Uzziah took over. I don't know if any of you have been in a situation where someone was leading initially and then another leader took over, and you're kind of like, I'm not sure about that guy yet, you know. Maybe none of you have done that, but you know, I'm sure that if you live long enough, you'll come to a place where you'll see a leader who has led so well, but then when they're gone, there's you know, this vacuum. Like John C. Maxwell said, the leadership abhors a vacuum. And let me just tell you something on the leadership side: good leaders replace themselves. Okay, you should always have a number of leaders that can do the job even better than you when you have to go on and move on to do other things. And so this king Uzziah left a gaping hole. And so the people of Israel were like, oh my, what are we going to do now? Because we don't have a king, or at least a king that can really lead us. So this is the situation with where we read this scripture, Isaiah chapter 9. And as we're reading verse 6, if we can just read verse 6, if you can go to the next slide, it's, "For unto us a child is born." Everybody say, "A child is born." "And unto us a son is given." Everybody say, "A son is given." Now, some of you on the surface may be asking the question, don't those two things mean the same thing? They actually don't if you look closely, right? "For unto us a child is born" speaks of the event of a specific child being birthed, being born, a historical fact. But then it goes on to say that a son is given. Number one, it's a son, meaning that he came relationally related to the Father. So there is a relational aspect to the gift that is being given because we have the word given. He is given, he's not earned. Are you with me? He's given, he's not deserved. He's given as a gift. For unto us a child is born, marking the historical nature of how Jesus Christ interrupted history. But unto us a son is given, meaning that from heaven to earth would come God in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, given to us as a son, not just given to us as a king, given to us as a ruler, given to us as a dictator, but given to us as a son. Now I want you to catch this, because God is a relational God. If you haven't figured it out yet, he is in the business of relationships. The economy of heaven is relationships. Richness and being rich in heaven is being rich with relationships. You're rich in your relationship with God, and you're rich in your relationship with other people. It's not about finances. It's not about money. It's not about career advancement or business opportunity. It's about relationship. That's how the kingdom of God operates. And so it doesn't say for unto us a child is born, unto us a rich dude is given, or a wealthy guy is given, or you know, just a tycoon is given. He was given to us as a son. There's an aspect of subserviency in the nature of how God would appear on the earth. Now, I want you to catch this. It says here, the government shall be upon this son's shoulders. The government shall be upon his shoulder, not Malcolm Turnbull's shoulders, not Donald Trump's shoulders, not Duterte's shoulders, well, the Samoans and Hietuilaipa's shoulders. It's none of their shoulders the government's going to rest upon. Because it doesn't matter how we vote or who we vote for or what party we vote for. The government will never be at peace until we allow the government to rest upon his shoulders. And that's why there's all this turmoil. Like if you go to the United States now, right now, there's so much tension between the liberals and the conservatives, the Republicans and the Democrats. And we just had our election here. There's so much tension politically. And when one party does things supremely wrong, the other party is more than happy to document it and point it out and blow it out of proportion as if they're perfect. But then when it's their turn, all of a sudden, they're the ones making all the mistakes. Have you noticed something? None of these governments and none of these presidents and none of these prime ministers are perfect. We should pray for them, but the government rests upon his shoulders. Are you with me? Anybody with me? Now, it's not just our government, but in terms of the political government, but it's the governing of your life. Because if you're in charge of your life, you'll notice that there's all sorts of turmoil, all sorts of unrest. But when you rest in the governance of the Prince of Peace, it's amazing how you are able to experience the leadership of someone who is perfect, because the government was designed to rest upon his shoulders. Now, I don't care how much you work on your traps and your doubts in the gym. For those of you who are not familiar with what I'm talking about, those are apparently muscle groups. Your shoulders were not designed to govern the way that God has called you to govern. You may govern positionally, but unless you, like if God calls you to politics, you better believe and rest in the leadership of the governing one who is Jesus Christ to help you being spirit-led in your leadership. Some of us in this room are called to politics. Some of us in this room are called to government. But there's a difference between going in there acting like you rule and going in there because you know the one who does rule, because the government rests upon his shoulders. And some of us walked in this room here stressed out. I mean, just walking through Westfield, you almost lost your Christianity because of the crowds there. You know, trying to get that special. And then you get there's nothing special about it because all the specials are gone, and you start saying words that we can't mention in church, losing your peace, losing your governance. Let me tell you, turn to somebody, encourage them, the government shall rest upon his shoulders. Let's move to the next part of the verse. And his name shall be called. Okay, this is not like Destiny's Child, say my name, say my name. This is not like that. What he's saying here is that you've got to recognize these aspects of Jesus' name, okay? When he arrives, you will recognize him by these qualities. Number one, he is the wonderful counselor. He is the wonderful counselor. Now, I grew up in a Samoan church, proud to be Samoan. But in my environment, at least where I grew up, you know, like if you go to a counselor for counseling, there must be something wrong with you. Anybody else grow up with that, like that in your culture? You know, like something's wrong. You know, something's wrong with your head. I just said he's got a broken head. Like, must be crazy, must be loco. But actually, this is what actually, you know, like causes a rift between our relationship of depth with God, if you think about it, because we're afraid to go into counseling. If we're afraid to go into counseling with a human counselor who has been maybe trained and have degrees or diplomas or certificates and have skill to be able to conduct counseling, then how do we expect to pour our heart out before God, who is not just the counselor, but he is the what? The wonderful counselor. The Hebrew word doesn't just mean, oh, wonderful, as in, you know, the pizza was wonderful. Oh, that TV show was wonderful, and God is also wonderful. No, he is full of wonder. When's the last time you went to God and just went, wow, you're amazing. Oh my gosh. Oh my you. When's the last time you looked upon God with admiration and awe and wonder, because he is full of wonder? And then when he dictates how you should live from his word, you're just like, wow, there he is. Like looking in his scriptures, looking in his word, you're like, this is amazing. All I've been looking for is here in his presence. Look, some of you may still have questions after being a Christian for 30 years. I do. This next year, I will celebrate 20 years of being a Christian, like a real Christian. Even though I'm a minister and I was born into a pastor's family, I stopped being a hypocrite and actually gave my life to Jesus properly and gave my life to the Lord. Not that it was mine to give, it was already his. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I got serious with God 20 years ago. But there are still questions that I have in my mind. Anybody else like that? Some of you are like, nah, I got this. And so with those questions, I don't just handle them with animosity and unrest. I actually take them and wrestle with them with the Father. And it's amazing how he meets me with his wonderful counsel. There's nothing like the presence of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God that just gives me utter peace. It causes me to be so satisfied. Satisfied to the point where I lose my English. Anybody been there? You just run out of words. You're just like, it's been a while for some of us, you know, since we've been there. Because our quiet time is not very quiet. First of all, it's really short. And then second of all, it's all us talking. And then we don't get to hear from him. And he has wonderful counsel for us. Take some time to listen to his wonderful counsel. He wants to counsel you. He wants to give you his wisdom. Those of you who are in business in this room, there's man's wisdom that some of us meditate on and chew on and go to all sorts of meetings and networking functions for. And then when we ask for the wisdom of God, we don't take time to listen to what he has to say for us. Look, even in my leadership of this church, I understand that there's wisdom of man, and I walk in the counsel of many, but ultimately it's God's church, and if he's not building this church, I don't want anything to do with it, because it's his house. And so I need to tap into the wonderful counsel of the Lord. And that's the reason why a lot of us don't have peace, is because we don't even listen to the counsel, the wonderful counsel of God. He is a mighty God. Everybody say he's a mighty God. Turn to somebody and encourage them. He's able to do what he said he'll do. If they were not very encouraging with the way they said that to you, demand a refund. Like, he's able to do what he said he'll do. Some of y'all are like whispering like you don't believe that. He is able to do what he said he will do. There are tons of miracles in the Bible. Did you know that God is more than able to do what he said he'll do for you as well, to his glory? He is a mighty God. He's powerful. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient, meaning he knows everything, and he's omnipotent. He has all power. Let's move on to the next one. I think you got that one. He's a mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. This is one of the qualities that I'm asking for the grace of God to be for my kids. It gets me every time that he is an everlasting Father. Some of us in this room grew up without a father. He didn't last. And so when we hear that God is referred to as the Heavenly Father, we're like, psh, I don't want anything to do with God because my daddy wasn't around. I didn't have a daddy. Or maybe he was there, but not there. He was present bodily, but he wasn't present. I'm here to tell you that our Heavenly Father is everlasting. He is always there. He promises us countless times in the Bible that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is there for us. And he is a father, not just a buddy, not just the man upstairs that you can just go to in your convenience. He is the everlasting Father. For those of us who haven't had the best father figures in this room, I'm here to tell you today that you have a God who is your father and who can fulfill you in ways that even myself as a father who's trying to be the best dad that I can to my three children, I'll never know the lengths and heights and depths of the love that the Father has for me. I mean, all the love that I can muster up for my three rascals, I mean, my three children, comes by the grace of the Heavenly Father. So, and I need to understand that he is an everlasting Father. He's not just a Tuesday night Father. He's not just a, you know, when it's convenient and works it out in his schedule type Father. He is an everlasting Father. He's always there. And you don't need to search for the love of that Father in something else. All my sisters in here, all my single sisters, you don't need to search for the love of the Father in some dude that promises, hey, I can be your daddy. Unless you find fulfillment in the Father who is everlasting, you will never find that fulfillment in a relationship. You'll never find that fulfillment in anything else other than the love of the Father. Start there. Start today. Give your life over to the everlasting Father. Last of all, and this is where I'm landing. I've only got 5 minutes left, so I've got to make it. I've got to work it like a ham bone on Christmas Day. I've got to work this thing, all right? He is the Prince of Peace. Everybody shout, the Prince of Peace. Right? He is royalty. Yes. But he is royalty with regards to peace. What is it about peace? Peace in the Hebrew is the word shalom. Everybody say shalom. There you go. You learned a new word. For those of you who may not have known that word, those of you who do, I'm going to break down what shalom means. Some of you may have known what this means. Shalom means wholeness, wellness. It doesn't mean like peace. It doesn't mean like the cessation of war or the cessation of argument or the cessation of noise. In my house, you know, like I can say, there's a Samoan word, three letters. Cool. Anyone know that word? Like, so my two girls, you know, like every now and then I'll drop a little Samoan gem at them. And they'll be like, it's mine. Cool. And they're wrestling because they want to say something. They want to, you know, but they're like, daddy has cool. Because they know what happens if they don't cool, they get cool-y. No, just... No. For those of you who don't understand Samoan, I just said, for those of them, when they don't stop, they get love. Wholeness, wellness. It means completion. When you have shalom, it doesn't just mean, you know, like, you're stopping the noise. Because how many of you know, like, you can stop the noise, but inside there's still noise going on. Like, I still want to kill you, you know, but like, that's not peace. That's a ceasefire, but that's not peace. Peace comes when you're complete, because you have no reason to have animosity, towards the other party or the other person. And so that can work on an international level, but I want you to think about this, okay? Because this is where the Holy Spirit is leading me to go. I want you to think about people in this world that you may have had relationship with or friendship with, and there's been a rift for some reason. There's been animosity for some reason. And the only way that you've found peace is to distance yourself. But inside there's been this anguish, and you haven't felt whole. God is wanting to use the vessel of Christmas in this Christmas season to bring reconciliation, because that's what shalom is. He is the Prince of Peace. He wants to restore wholeness. Shalom also means justice. It means the restoration of relationship. It does not just mean, again, that just because you are far away from the one that you bear a grudge with or have a root of bitterness towards, that there is peace. If we're to keep it really real, that's the reason why you don't want the wonderful counsel from the wonderful counselor, because you know he's just going to turn the light on. Everybody looks like a supermodel in the dark. But when the lights come on, you start, I'm talking to the man in the mirror. I'm asking someone else to change their ways. Yeah, like it's you. You have to rectify the situation. If you want the shalom of God, if you want the peace of God, you have to submit yourself to the one who holds the position of royalty, the prince who is the son of the king, and therefore you'll experience the shalom, the wholeness. That's the word in the Hebrew right there, prince of shalom. He is the prince of wholeness. He is the prince of relational restoration and justice. Can we honestly say this Christmas that we have rectified our relationships with one another? Now I'm just going to ask for the gentle light of the Holy Spirit to begin to illuminate areas of our hearts and our lives where there may be bitterness, there may be areas of offense, that during this Christmas season you would find an avenue, not because Pastor Nelly told you so, but because the Holy Spirit, i.e. the Prince of Peace himself, says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is part of God and knows God. He who loves not does not know God, for God is love. We cannot sit here hypocritically and say that we are followers of the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom, if we have not first put down our sacrifice and gone to rectify situations before coming to offer our worship. And we wonder why when we come to a place of worship that it's not really going all the way in, we're not really all the way in, you know, there's something limiting us from really fully entering into the presence of God. That can be one of two things. Number one, it could be sin in our lives. And that's for the Holy Spirit to highlight. That's not for me. If that's something you're dealing with. But what I want to deal with tonight is not just sin. If you are in sin in this place, God is here by his grace, extending his forgiveness towards you. But I'm here to address this place of bitterness. God wants to restore relationship. It doesn't have to be the way it was before, but you can't walk around living in the fullness of everything God's called you to if you don't have peace. Now, I'm just going to highlight this as I'm getting ready to close. Most of you know I'm an NBA fan, and recently, just this week, there was a reconciliation between two legends in the game, NBA, and that's Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas. Now, for those of you who have no idea what basketball is, it's a game played with a round ball thrown into a basket, hence the title basketball. And there's a professional league in the States called the NBA. Two of the stars during the 1980s were these two gentlemen here. Magic Johnson, who was a superstar playing for the Los Angeles Lakers, won 5 championships with the Los Angeles Lakers. And his little brother, he calls Isaiah Thomas his little brother, but they were the best of friends coming up. Long story shorter, there was a rift in their relationship. And what ended up happening was Isaiah Thomas was not included. Many of you will recognize that they finally included the U.S. professional basketball team in the Olympics in 1992. And Isaiah Thomas was not included on the team because he was hated by Michael Jordan because he beat Michael Jordan and Larry Bird because he led a team called, from Detroit. They were known for their rough playing. They often played illegally and they pushed people over and so forth. So they, even though he was the best player in his position, they told him you can't play on the Dream Team, which is, you know, to this day considered a legendary basketball team. And unfortunately, that's marked in history. Isaiah Thomas was not included on that team. Magic Johnson also came out in the late 80s because he contracted the HIV virus. And there were rumors going around. None of them were confirmed. Although Isaiah came out later that he did not say these things, but there were some things that were rumored to have been said by Isaiah Thomas that were lashed out with regards to Magic Johnson's behavior. I'll just leave it at that. You can read into it. But so can you imagine this rift has existed for 27 years? A deep, deep rift. They'd see each other, you know, in certain events because Isaiah Thomas now works as for the NBA TV, and Magic Johnson is the president of the Los Angeles Lakers. So this week, they finally had a sit-down, and it was televised. And I want you to see the Prince of Peace at work, just in with the depth of bitterness that was that happened with, between these two.
I don't know if any of you have any relationships like that that needed that sort of restoration. But God wants to restore relationship. He is the Prince of Peace. And I'm believing God for his grace to be upon you as you discover God as the Father who brings reconciliation to his sons and daughters. Here's my last point with regards to shalom. Shalom is not just mentioned in the book of Exodus as the people of Israel left Egypt out of their slavery, but it's also them entering into the promised land. Many of us think, you know what, shalom is me getting out of sin and now I'm free. But then we walk through this period in the desert and sometimes we grow bitter towards each other. We grow in tension. And what should be an 11-day journey from Egypt to the promised land took them 40 years. You know why? God didn't want to get them out of the desert before he got the desert out of them. And he wants to get the desert out of us. But it's only going to happen, and we're only going to enter into the promised land if we walk without bitterness in our heart and walk with that forgiveness that he has already given to us. We are forgiven without sin, without blemish anymore. And now we have the power to forgive others.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.